Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the Kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, here with you for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And what a comeback last night by our club. Tying it up in the bottom of the ninth with two outs. Chaz McCormick coming up with a big double to score two runs after not a great play by them. A solid single by pinch hitter David Hensley, and then McCormick coming through with the double to tie up the game. And then, boy, bringing in Presley in a tie game is an automatic loss.
Well, now, he is bad in that situation.
It is bad.
I don't know what it is about Ryan Presley and just holding a game where it's supposed to be, but it's an amazing amount of failure. In
yes.
this particular situation.
It is
unbelievable. His success rate is so low in that situation.
Yeah. And who got the game-winning home run?
Your boy.
My boy. G1. That's right. He's a male baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a male.
G1?
G1. He's a male baseball player. And he got the game-winning home run. Boy, you want to talk about it.
Not a noodle dish.
No, it's not a food. He's a baseball player.
I know.
You didn't.
I never played that game.
You never did?
I never played that game.
What, baseball player? Baseball yeah. player or baseball or softball player?
Yeah, I never played
baseball
player, softball
no,
player.
You never
no.
played that.
No.
Okay. All right. No. Well, before the show, you were playing. You were playing the game.
I was listening to the game.
The game was on before the show. Unfortunately for you guys, he's a
man who hits home runs against the Astros.
He has a I don't mean this in any derogatory way, in any way, shape, or form, but he definitely has an Asian swing. Did you?
Yeah.
Yes.
I know it. I don't know what you mean, but I know exactly what you
yeah.
mean.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell the Asian players the way that they swing.
A lot of them will open their hips. And the follow through is different. Is a different follow through. It's like a kind of a flashier follow through. But I don't know what you mean. But I know what you mean. I can't describe it, but it's 100% true.
It's like porn. You just know it when you see it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Same thing with when you had Ichiro's swing was going to be. It was just much different.
Oh, it's the same with Shohei.
He's I mean, got some
the finish,
of it is
the finish to that swing.
The finish is what it gives.
The
it
finish
away.
Is what.
And for Ichiro is also his feet. You know, before
yeah.
the in the swing, he would do some different things. But
well, he had a nice kick. He had a nice leg kick and all that stuff.
There's
going.
A little extra flair with that swing.
Yes, yes. They it's just different. And you know what he finished it yesterday, and finished off Presley and finished off the Astros. They don't. Listen, this is starting to get to a point where, you're getting back to 2011 to find the last time that this team hasn't won a series in the first four series of a season. They have yet to win a series yet, this Astros team. So this is starting to get, not troublesome, but it is certainly, they're not off to the best start. And it's understandable. Although I think they may have found a little niche in Chaz leading off. Bregman finally had an extra base hit. He homered a solo shot, which was nice. It was his first extra base hit of the season. You got Jose Abreu still lining singles. He's just lining singles. It's what he does. And Kyle Tucker continuing to dominate at an unbelievable level. He is just so good. Kyle Tucker. This is starting to get troublesome because Kyle Tucker, you know that the clock is ticking. We've got him for 2+ years, 2 years and well, almost three seasons now, but that's going to be it because there's no way this dude doesn't get a 10-year deal mm-hmm. when his deal is up here.
Yeah.
When he becomes a free agent here. There's no way he doesn't get a 10-year deal from somebody because he's just so good, so consistent, and not only consistent, but outstanding. He's just outstanding. He's an outstanding fielder. He's he does. I mean, they made fun of him for Teddy Ballgame stuff, but he's got a swing a lot like Teddy Ballgame. He does. He just is that. He sees the ball so well. He drives the ball to all fields. He can run. He can field. He can just do it all. And it's going to be sad, sad, sad. This is, you know, the Astros are a team that ain't scared of losing players. I mean, they've lost their best players over seemingly every season. They've lost one of their best players. Not seemingly. They've lost one of their best players every season for the last 5 years. And yet they continue to keep on ticking. At some point, you can't keep losing Carlos Correa's, Justin Verlander's, Garrett Cole's, George Springer's, and, you know, in a couple of years, Kyle Tucker's, and continue to be one of the best teams in the league.
It eventually catches up with you. It's not possible to subtract. And you just say, and you just believe every year, oh, no, we'll have a new guy coming up from the minor leagues. No, we have this guy. What about when this guy? At some point, what happens when you don't? What happens when the well runs dry for 3 years? Then you're screwed because all these guys came up over a four-year period, honestly. I mean, Bregman, Carlos, George Springer, Kyle Tucker. If you look at it, George came up first. It was George and Carlos. And then it was Bregman in 16, Tucker in what, 18? I mean, they all came up at during a certain time frame. You're going to lose them in that same time frame.
Yeah, and you
you can extend a little bit, like with George. Yeah, you extended like a year with George, but you're going to lose him in basically in a staggered, you know, 1 year and 2 year staggers. At some point, if you don't hit with your minor leagues or your drafts, remember you didn't have first or second round draft picks for a couple of years. Who are the dudes down there right now? I don't know. I mean, maybe there are some dudes, but I don't know that there's
any that
we
know. Well, not at the top of the food chain in the minor league system. There's not. No. You know, when Kyle Tucker is coming up with Forrest, it was, you know, you can't get rid of those two guys. With Whitaker, you can't get rid of those two guys, right?
Thank God they didn't get rid of Kyle Tucker.
Yeah. Kyle Tucker, thank goodness he didn't, that Luno stood his ground. But now you're gonna find that with the Astros philosophy, and that's their philosophy, and guess what? They're a pretty damn good organization. With their philosophy, they're just not going to give him that extended deal that he is going to certainly find on the market. But neither here nor there, he hit again. He's hitting again. He homered again yesterday. His OPS is up over, is now 1,074. 1,074. That is pretty damn good. And then the rest of the Mauricio Dubon with another hit last night. David Hensley really looked confident at the plate in that pinch hit role. Man, did he look good. Did he hit that ball solid to center field. And they ended up losing. They came up back and tied the game up in the ninth inning, only to lose it with Presley on the mound. I don't know why he's – see, when you're on the road, you have a save situation. Why does he – this is the second time that he's brought Presley into the game in a non-save situation on the road. I don't understand that.
Presley, when it's not going good for him, it's not. Like, he just doesn't deal well with it.
I don't
know what it is with him. You get some shaky saves with Ryan Presley. We've talked about it in the past.
Yeah.
I'm on – you know, why
is he doing that? Why – he's got so many guys. And the bullpen was pretty rested after seven innings out of Fromber the day before. Yeah.
What's he bringing
Presley in a tie game for?
Maybe.
Dusty has 2,000 wins, and I have zero.
Yeah, you have zero wins. You still are winless.
I'm winless at the major league level.
Do you wear gloves when you manage?
When you're at home, you don't
have sweatbands? No.
When you're at home in a tie game in a ninth inning, you don't have a save situation anymore. But when you're on the road, you do.
Well, but Dusty wanted to keep the game where it was, and his thought was probably, hey, here's our closer. He can do it.
Yeah, no, he can't. See, I don't know
what... Should a guy be a closer if you know that he can't hold a game where it is?
Yes, that happens. But this happens all the time.
It's the same thing. Get three guys out. What's the difference?
It's big. It's different.
Get three guys. If you can't get three guys out in the seventh inning or the 10th inning or the ninth inning or the 12th inning, it's your same job. Do your job. If you're that – I mean, I don't want to get into a situation where I'm saying that about, because I don't believe that. But I do just, at some point, you just have to do your job. And look, there's pitchers who go through stretches where they're just not as good. And sometimes you don't want it to be psychological. You never want somebody to have a mental block. Like, you're basically saying that's what he has, that Ryan Pressly has a mental block. Because players who have mental blocks then are more susceptible to stretches of failure if you have mental blocks, because you create fake pressure on yourself. I mean, pressure is self-created. And if I don't know why Ryan Pressly would get into a situation where he goes, oh my gosh, it's tied. I just don't know how I'm going to get these guys out mentally.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it's funny though. In a safe situation, he's just much better.
No, but I mean, it's got to be just coincidence.
Yeah,
but
I guess.
It does happen.
I guess.
I mean, it happens. We see it happen with human eyes.
Well,
and I got my eyes fixed, so I don't have to wear glasses anymore. So now I see it even better.
You did.
It's not
you
blurry.
Did get your eyes
I don't
fixed.
See people. It's not kind of blurry, or I'm not looking through scratched up lenses when I'm watching Ryan Pressly blow a tie game.
Right.
I can see it much more clearly now. And it looks the same.
And for some reason, this staff woke up G-Man Choi, who was in a horrendous slump coming into this game. And then all of a sudden, he's been feasting. He loves Astros pitching now. Loves to take them deep. Loves that he just is. He's such a good hitter. He wasn't going to stay down long. And then I didn't know this, that Cannon Smith and Jigba is Smith and Jigba's brother.
Yeah. He got his first base hit. I was watching. They had a feature on NFL Now about that when I was on TV the other day. I wasn't on the segment, but I was watching and waiting to come on. And yeah, that's his brother. He's at the plate right now. But that's his, we're rewatching.
The Ohio State wide receiver's brother.
But yeah, he's rewatching the game. By the way, speaking of Ohio State wide receiver, we've got, speaking of the NFL draft, we've got, when we come back, Adam Schefter. Had some comments, and I wonder where you've ever heard this before.
Oh, really? Because Woj, I know ESPN sources told him about some Rockets coaching.
Is ESPN just streaming our show?
Is that it?
Do they just stream our show? Before we do, let's get Stafford's been waiting. I want to see. This is a Rockets call, so I want to see what Stafford has for us before we get to a break. What's up, Stafford?
Hey, man, good morning, y'all. Hope y'all had a good Easter and all of that, man. I had a Rockets question, man. What's the worst case scenario for the Rockets coaching wise? Are they going to wait till after the lottery to hire a coach, and hiring a coach prior to the lottery? I know y'all spoke to that yesterday or the day before. How is all this going to work? What's the best? What's the worst case scenario? Because it's a lot of best case in there, but I wanted y'all thoughts on that. I want y'all to get in the deep.
We actually did a video yesterday that we talked about this a little bit.
Not worst case scenario. No. Worst case scenario, you wait until after the lottery and you hire Scotty Brooks.
Well, you wait till after the lottery draw, which is May 16th, and the Rockets have the 7th pick. That's the worst case scenario.
Oh yeah,
and then
I think he's asking worst case scenario for hire.
Well,
I don't know.
That would be the worst case scenario for a hire, because if they have the number one overall pick, you're going to get your pick of the litter of all of these guys, because they're going to coach Victor Wembanyama, and you're going to have $72 million in cap space to be able to attract a free agent, which you will be able to do if you've got Victor Wembanyama. So you're going to be a lot more attractive an organization. Both of us feel like you should hire the head coach before the draft lottery selection.
When you have some leverage.
That's right. You're going to have some leverage saying to whatever coach it is, the coach that you want, you're going to tell him, hey, we could get the number one overall pick. We've got all this this draft capital or this salary capital. We are going to be a team to be reckoned with in a hurry. This is not going to be the same situation that Steven Silas went through. This is going to be an attractive job. The Rockets are an attractive organization, but not nearly as attractive if they don't get the number one or number two overall pick. Not nearly. So our thought is that you ought to get that coach before May 16th. You ought to hire that guy.
Kenny Atkinson is one. He's a guy who coached under Mike D'Antoni, so he's familiar with that. You know, well, I mean, he's familiar with other systems, but that's one of the ways that. You know, he came to he came into prominence, was coaching under Mike D'Antoni in New York with the New York Knicks. I just he's one of the guys. I think the best case scenario is probably, honestly, it's probably going to be
Udoka.
Frank Vogel or Udoka. Yeah. Udoka, I think would be. I think the players would gravitate towards Udoka. I mean, look, honestly, he's a black coach. I think that. I think there's. So was Steven Silas, but Steven Silas was a very,
non-confrontational.
Just very non-confrontational, and you got to have somebody that is respect. Udoka went to, you know, Udoka went to the Eastern Conference Finals, went to the NBA Finals, and no, that year, yeah. Wait, did they? I'm trying to remember. Did they get beat by the Heat? I remember. No, the Heat beat them. Wait, no. When the Heat and the Heat and Celtics were playing, I was watching. I was in Belize in that game 7. No, the Heat won that game. Yeah, the Heat beat the Celtics.
What are you talking about?
Wait, I'm going back to 2000 and.
Well, the Heat went to a couple of years ago. The Heat went to the finals. Yes.
Yeah, but 2022. Then, wasn't that last year?
No, last year the Celtics were in the finals.
No, that was, that was Udoka.
Yeah.
That was Udoka. They beat the Heat. Okay.
Yeah.
They beat the Heat. That's the one. I'm trying to go back. The COVID thing is, ever since COVID, I'm like, wait, what happened in 21?
No one knows. We got to take a break. And then when we come back, we got the Adam Schefter stuff that we have to get to. And not only Adam Schefter, but Mike Lombardi, he chimes in, as does Daniel Jeremiah. So we got all kinds of stuff that we're talking about right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, QC.
QC Kinetics, they chimed in and said, whoa, QC Kinetics has entered the chat, because QC Kinetics wants to make sure that for those of you who are like, hey, what do I have to do about this shoulder or this knee? I'm going to, you know, I know it hurts all the time. I was a former baseball player. I played basketball. Maybe you're just weekend warrior. Maybe it's just a genetic thing and you've got chronic pain. Maybe you've got arthritis and you say, well, I know I've got to get some kind of steroid shot. That's going to help. And a lot of times that'll help for 3 or 4 months. Sometimes it doesn't help that long, to be honest with you. Actually, it usually doesn't last that long. But it gives you some relief, and then it's back to the same thing. And you can only take about 3 of those shots a year. And then eventually you're just putting it off until you have to get surgery, which means downtime from work. You have pain medicine you have to take. Listen, with QC Kinetics, they take the body's healing power, and the regenerative process can help restore and regenerate damaged tissue in your joints. That's how you eliminate chronic pain. That's how you reduce it substantially. And in many cases, you're able to eliminate chronic pain. You may have it flare up on a certain day when it's rainy or whatever the case may be. But for most people, you're going to see a substantial difference in your pain, which means a substantial improvement in your quality of life. Get mobility back, have more fun on these days during the spring and during the summer and fall when you want to get outside. That's what I'm talking about right there. Get back to it without all the other issues that we just talked about. And that's the difference with my friends over at QC Kinetics. They've got multiple locations around Houston. Just opened up a new spot in Sugar Land. Call 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 720 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we mentioned Adam Schefter. Here's Adam Schefter talking about, and look, this is his thoughts, okay? I don't know where he got it. He's got sources that he is hearing. This doesn't sound anything at all like what Lance wrote in his mock draft or in his write-up about the Houston Texans. So there is zero similarity whatsoever to what Lance Zierlein had to say. Or wait, maybe it's almost exactly what Lance had to say. Here's Adam Schefter.
There's a lot of conflicting signals and information out there about what Houston is going to do at 2. And I think a lot of people have assumed it's just going to be a quarterback. And in the end, I'm just not convinced just yet that that's going to be the case. Now, I do think that we have Bryce Young slated to be the favorite, number one, Carolina. Then Houston's on the clock. And what does Houston do? And it becomes interesting if Houston decides to auction off that pick to somebody who wants to come up and trade for a quarterback at number 2, or whether Houston wants to go with a quarterback of its own, or whether Houston wants to go with one of the top defensive players. All I'm saying is I don't think it's a lock that Houston is going quarterback at two. That's all I'm saying.
Really? I mean, look, I'll just tell you now, I don't have inside info, but I do have information. And so I've been doing this for a while, and I've learned from talking to teams. I've learned from watching the process. I keep an open mind. Everyone who thinks – so everyone said my mock draft is the craziest, right? My last mock draft was the craziest thing that's happened to humanity and all this stuff. You know, I got a text from a GM of an NFC team who I actually hadn't heard from for a while who said, hey, just want to let you know, your mock draft is probably the closest to what reality is going to be. Which let me know I was onto something. And all I did was use, I surmised based on the way teams operate. I've done this for years. I've studied this for years. There's certain types of players. Like Darnell Wright's going to go higher than anyone thinks. Paris Johnson's not as good as people put him in a top 10. Paris Johnson's not a top 10 tackle. He's not. They just don't know. They don't watch the tape. They don't know. So it's groupthink, right? And I tried to tell this to this guy on Twitter who always argued with me about, well, CJ Stroud's going to be the first pick because do you see what the odds are? He's minus 400. It's clearly going to be CJ Stroud. These bookmakers, they know things. And I said, well, where do you, if they get inside info or professional gamblers know? No, they don't. This is how it works with odds. The NFL odds makers, because there's very tight little circles on these games. You can only bet a certain amount of money. They don't know. They follow. They don't get it from teams. Teams aren't going to let a line maker know. Professional gamblers don't know. This is not how it works. I'm going to tell you exactly how it works. They sit and look at mock drafts. They try to find consensus. There's certain player people they'll follow. Daniel Jeremiah is one of those guys. Now, I have good mock drafts. I have good information. I have a good feel, good intel. People in the business respect what I do. The general public doesn't know that as much. The line makers may not know that as much. They may, but they may not. But people in the business, when they see me and Daniel Jeremiah both doing something, and then Adam Schefter says something, all of a sudden it's a big swell, right? So now everything's going to rush back to CJ Stroud. And I tried to tell this guy on Twitter, he's like, what's going to be, I mean, not Stroud, but Young. I said, he said, CJ Stroud's a big favorite, minus 400. He's going to be the first pick, line makers. I said, they're going off of everyone's mock draft. That's all they do. They don't know. They don't know. And so right now, I'm just telling you guys, and I told you this would happen. Carolina, all of a sudden Bryce Young's name would start being mentioned. And now it's all Bryce Young. So now I'm trying to figure out, wait a minute. Here's why I think it's not 100. I think there's a better than 50% chance that it's going to be C.J. Stroud, number two at the Texans. Okay? I'm going to put this out. I believe it's more like a 60-65% chance it would be Stroud because it's quarterback, and ultimately the owners are going to make a decision if they want to go quarterback. Here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that Frank Reich doesn't want Bryce Young. It's not a Frank Reich decision. What I'm hearing is that's an owner decision. The owner wants Bryce Young, and if the owner wants something, the owner's going to get it.
Yeah.
Unless they back off of it. Now, here's the thing. If that's true and they go Bryce Young, then the Texans obviously are faced with, do we get a quarterback now or do we wait next year? Well, we have no idea. If we may win 8 games, 7 games, 6 games, and the teams who lose may need quarterback, and we can't even trade up there to get those guys. But do we also want to draft a guy we don't believe in? I know that the rumors around the league, the rumors that I have heard is that C.J. Stroud did not score great on this S2. And there are a lot of teams, and I don't know if the Texans are one of them, to be honest with you. There are a lot of teams who highly value the S2 test because it's a processing test. It's a decision-making. We had the guy on from yesterday, right? So it has been predictive. The very best quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, those are three guys who scored very high on S2. Brock Purdy was the highest scorer last year. And he did well. Now, he's also in a very quarterback-friendly scheme.
Right.
Now, the question is asked of those guys, has anyone ever become a good quarterback who scored low? The answer over the last 7 years so far has been no. No one has. And the rumor is that I've heard, not through teams but through other sources, is that C.J. Stroud's number is pretty low. And Bryce Young's number is extremely high. So San Francisco, I think, is one of those teams that highly value the S2. And so what I did was I said, Bobby Slowick came from there where they drafted Purdy in the seventh round, but they also traded up a lot to get their hands on Trey Lance, who may have scored high on the S2. I don't know. I didn't even know about the S2 back then. If that's the case, and if San Francisco highly values it, and Bobby Slowick came from over there, he may also highly value it here. The tape is better for Bryce Young. Okay, so I just put all that together and said, the Texans will value Bryce Young first and foremost, and they may not value Stroud as much. That's all I use. I don't have any inside info from the Texans. That's all I did. Then I just sit and said, okay, well, if they stay and go defense, would it be Tyree Wilson or Will Anderson? And the fact is, Will Anderson is I don't know that he's going to get a whole lot better. He's a very, very good football player. But the way NFL teams think, and I'm just trying to think like an NFL team is, they like guys who have a chance to still get a lot better. Tyree Wilson is very productive, is big, is long, is explosive, and he's not as skilled as Will Anderson. So he's got a chance to get a lot better. When he learns how to rush, learns moves and all that, Will Anderson's already skilled. And like most Alabama players, when they come out, they're really good already. But they may not get a lot better. So I just tried to think, okay, traits, the San Francisco defensive method for, you know, who they've had over there. Tyree just actually fits it better than Will Anderson. That's all I use. It's not inside info. But what it is I think like NFL general managers do, because I've been trained to think like that. Now, I might be wrong, and some of this is my own. Like, I have Will Anderson graded higher than Tyree Wilson. But I can tell you this. I've talked to three teams who have Tyree Wilson ahead of Will Anderson. So anybody who thinks the groupthink that you see in national media about how players are ranked, you're wrong. One of the most shocking things is to when I first found out what a team board looked like. If you ever talked to Alonzo Highsmith when he worked in I would ask Alonzo about his grade on a player. He'd be like fourth round. Like fourth round? This guy's right. Expected to go first or
no,
second.
No, their boards are totally different.
Way different.
And there's even more to this. We've got to get to it. There's even more to this. Mike Lombardi chimes in, and so does Daniel Jeremiah.
And Lombardi talks to people in the league still, and I think you really need to listen to what he says, because that's going to get a lot of hate. What Mike has said, I'm just going to tell
you,
we'll
do it on the other
side.
Doing it on the other side. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now that we're talking about Chastain Ford, we're talking about Patrick Chastain, and we're talking about his whole family that has been doing this for years and years and years in the city of Houston. And over 80 years, okay? More than 80. And that's a lot. That's a long, long time. Trust me, Abraham Lincoln talked about it. That was a long time ago, too. So I don't know what that has to do with the car business. But here's the deal, is if you're looking for that Ford car or truck, there's only one place to go in this city. To me, there's one place to go. The first thing that they're going to ask you, go to the website, ChastainFord.com, and the first thing that they're going to ask you, first of all, is a little pop-up will come on the bottom right-hand corner of your screen. How can I help you? What can I do for you? How can I make this experience better for you? And then one of the very first things they're going to ask you is where your payments have to be. And that's so important to them, because they don't want you choking on this. They want you to have a great, great experience with your vehicle. And then the price, 0% financing, nothing down, no payments for 90 days. Are you kidding? 0% financing for 36 months is ridiculous. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. And that's happening right now with F-150s that are on the lot at Chastain Ford. You can browse on the website, or you can go to the I like to see, smell, feel the vehicle. I'd like to know exactly what I'm getting. So I go to the dealership. You may be that way, or you can do it all online. I don't know how you shop. But here's the deal, is when you do shop at Chastain Ford, you're going to get the best deal that you can possibly get. I'm telling you, you will love your deal at Chastain Ford. Get to the website, ChastainFord.com, or in 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Second guess, maybe my second best. What do I have to do to know that I'm getting through? I don't have much to say.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5. At 92.5.
All right, welcome back. 7:33 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So when last we left, you heard from Adam Schefter about that the Texans could possibly not take a quarterback in the with the second overall pick. Whether or not they trade out. There's all kinds of stuff. Whether or not Nick Caserio has the nuts. Whether or not this is even Nick Caserio's going to be Nick Caserio's decision. If ownership steps in and says, no, you're taking a quarterback, that could well happen. You don't know. It seems like the Panthers organization, the owner is stepping in and saying, oh, this is the guy that we're going to take. This is the guy that I want, regardless of what the coaches say. Whether or not D'Amico, does D'Amico have...
Yeah, we don't know any of this stuff.
No, does D'Amico have the ability to say, no, this is a long-term play?
I'm telling you right now. So I got both the first-round picks right last year for the Texans. And people like to say, well, Lance is really tied in with the Texans. You got to listen to what he says. The Stingley pick I got from an LSU guy. Yeah. He said, Lance, I'm telling you, they are doing really a like tremendous Stingley, amount of work on Stingley. The green pick, I just tried to think like the Texans. Yeah. That's all I did.
Right. So
because they don't let anything.
But you're not saying that this is what the Texans are going to do.
No, but this the Texans don't let anything out of.
No, they don't. They don't let anything out. So here's Mike Lombardi talking about that number two overall pick, and listen to what he says about C.J. Stroud.
What are we? April the 10th. I'm not sold that the Houston Texans are just completely locked in on a quarterback. I'm not sold on that. I think there's a longer game to be played in Houston. D'Amico Ryan's got a 6-year contract. You know, I think there'll be some organizational changes in Houston after the draft. I believe that. I think there's going to be some way. I'm not saying that people are going to get fired, but I think there's organizational the way they shifted things down there. So getting the 6-year deal, the long play. One thing you know about if you're D'Amico Ryan's is you ain't getting fired after a year.
No.
Right? Why not go 1-15 and get Caleb Williams?
Yeah.
Why not get the better quarterback? Why not rebuild the team, do exactly what Kyle Shanahan did in San Francisco, start slow, and go from there?
And then he goes on to say this about C.J. Stroud.
I'm not sold C.J. Stroud is going number two. C.J. Stroud's an interesting guy. When you talk to people in the league, they'll tell you C.J. Stroud is not. This is not a knock. This is just a conversation. Not an easy guy to coach. You got to be really. He's very. I think the word that people use is he's very not believing in what you're saying, and so he's a little bit challenging to coach. So it's not like he comes in and embraces it. It's a little bit. He's got a little bit different style to him.
Is that where it's like he thinks he knows better?
He thinks he knows a little bit better. Okay. He's probably hard to take to coach it. Not saying he's not a good player. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying the vibe that you get from talking to people that have interviewed him is he's not an easy guy to coach. And so what I've done is I've asked people. I said, you know, I heard C.J. Stroud's not an easy guy to coach. Yeah, and everybody echoes that back to you. So I'm not saying he's not a good player. I like C.J. Stroud. Would I pick him at two? I don't know. I certainly wouldn't pick Anthony Richardson at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Stop me when I get there. But I think you have to understand where are they. The one thing we do know about Houston is there is no information coming out of there. There's not confirmation of Stroud. There's not
anything. The Texans don't tip their hand. And is exactly what you were saying. Have you heard that about C.J. Stroud? Tough to coach?
No comment.
No comment. Okay. All right. Lance just no commented it.
I don't want that to sound too like. I don't think that. I haven't heard terrible things about C.J. Stroud at all. Nothing that would keep me from drafting him.
Okay.
So I just think that there's some.
What about play on the field?
What do you mean?
Well, his tape didn't show him to
be his tape was great against Georgia, and the rest of it to me was more like a 64. 64 to me, his 64 tape would be you're somewhere in the middle of the first round, is what the grade would be. It doesn't mean he'd get drafted higher like all quarterbacks will, but his game against Georgia and his combine, I pushed him to a 67, which means has a chance to be a very good starter in the league. Possibly Pro Bowl potential, but that's on the high end. Well, I'm giving him a high end.
It's funny, Lamont, who calls us virgins again this morning.
He does call us virgins, despite the fact that we have
children
running around.
Grandchildren.
And it's not through artificial insemination purposes. I do things, Lamont.
Yeah. Okay? We're not virgins. Right. So anyway, he may be right about this, is that C.J. Stroud's Georgia game is Jadeveon Clowney's Michigan game.
Yeah, and I don't even know if the Michigan game was great. I just know about the play that knocked the helmet off.
Yeah, right.
But that's not entirely fair. But I think that's an interesting comment.
Well, but didn't the Georgia game change your attitude toward him?
Yeah. So in that sense,
yeah.
But I think he was better than that. Listen, Dwayne Haskins should be a real learning moment for people. When Hawaii did stuff like that, you learn to just say Timmy Chan's numbers are fake. Like, we used to all be Andre Ware with the run and shoot, like, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And we used to see these numbers and get dazzled by them. And yet people still get dazzled by these numbers when it's in a Power Five. But the fact is, Dwayne Haskins was not a good NFL quarterback. And some of that was his mentality, his immaturity. But, you know, you saw 50 touchdown passes and low interception number, like 4. Huh. Oh, my gosh. Joe Burrow did that and became a great quarterback. When Dwayne Haskins did it, you know, we all looked at it. But when you really watched every touch, and I watch every touchdown pass, a lot of them are just you're throwing to open guys, and it's pretty easy. So you say, okay, how many of these translate to the NFL or look like? Well, the first time I learned that lesson was with Danny Cannell and the fun and gun with Steve Spurrier, and I'm looking at, but I learned it with the wide receivers. I'm like, Jacquez Green, oh my gosh, all these guys are incredible. Then you realize they're just running to space all the time. Mm-hmm. They're just running to freedom where you're wide open, and, you know, how hard is it to make a throw? And not even Danny Cannell. Who's the other one? The other guy?
Oh, that won the Heisman.
Yeah. Trying to remember the other quarterback they had. But so there have been, it's just hard for people to get wrapped their head around the fact that
Cannell went to Florida State.
Yeah, not Danny Cannell.
No, Danny Werfel.
Danny Werfel. That's it. Yeah. So people. It's hard for people to wrap their head around the fact that gaudy stats in college at Ohio State could possibly have anything to do with the run and shoot or the fun and gun or any of these offenses. But the fact is, it can. We've seen it. Who are the super successful passers out of Ohio State? They've all got great passing stats.
No one. None.
Who are the great passers?
None.
So you can't just assume that CJ.
I don't like that either. Like, who are the Penn State running back? That was a thing for a while.
That's not fair. Now, I do think certain universities have a cultural thing that needs to be looked at. Like Texas and USC, it's known in football circles that their players at times over the years, there has been some enabling and there's been some entitlement stuff, and they've been, and there's, you know, dogs at this university has dogs to play, but they also have guys who have some edge, or this is, you know, guys at this university. There's been some of that. I don't believe in doing that either. I think everybody has to be judged on their own merit, and you can't just say, I had somebody say, name all the successful Alabama and Ohio State quarterbacks. Well, this is Bryce Young, and this is C.J. Stroud, and I see good things from C.J. Stroud. I see things that I like.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. I mean, his accuracy, he puts the ball on you, really. You know, talking to some NFL assistant GMs, I was been asking, like, where you rank the quarterbacks. And this one guy made a point of telling me, C.J. Stroud is just, his accuracy is just tremendous in terms of throwing the ball to your hands every single time. And that's what I saw, and that's what I was really excited about. But I know that Bryce Young, I don't have to go to one Georgia game. I can watch lots of games. I was at the Texas game where all of a sudden it wasn't a good game for Alabama's offense. And then Bryce Young focused in the fourth quarter, and that drive down the field, it's like, and he threw a bunch of little short out routes, but he knew, I'm going to get down the field and I'm going to win. Bryce Young doesn't panic. He doesn't lose his poise. He's poised in the pocket and out of the pocket. You know, I just like him better than CJ. I like him and CJ way better than Anthony Richardson and Will Levis. For me, there's a huge gap between Young and CJ Stroud, and then Levis and Richardson. There's a huge gap. I like Richardson next because I like the potential, and running quarterbacks are able to last. They're able to make an impact, just like Justin Fields. Justin Fields can make an offensive impact. It's not turning into wins, but you can make an offensive impact. The question with Justin Fields now is he learning to pass? are they just going to keep running him because that's what works with him? Because at some point, he's not going to get better as a quarterback if he doesn't learn to win from the pocket at some point.
Right. Well, he's the Lamar Jackson. He's a Lamar Jackson type without the, all the winning stuff that Lamar Jackson does.
See, I think Will Levis is going to go ahead of Anthony Richardson.
I think Will Levis has a chance to be good. This injury thing for him last year, I think, is real. But he makes a lot of poor decisions. If he can clean that up a little bit, like Josh Allen did, you know, I mean, Kentucky didn't have the best receivers in the world. It'll be interesting. I think Will Levis. I know that there's so much hate for. I don't get it. I'm with you.
I think people pick and choose.
It's unbelievable how much hate there is for that guy.
Well, you know what? I think people have been trained to. You've got in this polarized society, we've been trained to. You got to have a side, right? It's a political side. It's a player side. It's Jordan versus LeBron. It's are you a Kobe guy or this guy? It's Democrat, Republican. Are you the black, white? It's like people are so trained to be, you got to have an enemy. Like, right. Who's your enemy going to be?
Right.
And the enemy is always.
And Will Levis is.
Enemy is always Joe Kelly. But you have to have an enemy, right? So Will Levis is the enemy of the state in this draft. Yeah. I truly believe that, okay, here's the good guys and here's the bad guys. And Will Levis just happens to fit into that mold of he's the bad guy. If you want to say it's racial, say it's racial. If you want to say it's whatever. I just believe that people need to have a guy they don't want. Now. But to be fair, also, he sucked this year.
Yeah, I mean,
let's just be real about this. Black or white, people assume everything's racial.
You can't watch him and watch Anthony Richardson and go, I can't take Will Levis, but I can take Anthony
Richardson. Now, that's true. Here's the difference. The mixtape for Anthony Richardson is good. The mixtape that's on Twitter, you can find plays. I can find you plays on Will Levis, but no one wants to go on Will Levis. But I can tell you this. If you watched Anthony Richardson play football this year and you watched Will Levis and you actually watch games, you'd say, how is this guy getting this talk about number one? And this guy is like, but then again, Will Levis, there's talk about him being top four. Will Levis, his tape doesn't even come close to saying first round.
Yeah.
You can't get to first round with Will Levis based on 2022.
No, he was bad.
And you can't tell me that.
But,
well, that's a racial thing. No, I don't care what color you are. You can't have watched Will Levis play Tennessee and think that that guy can be in the first round.
No, but you can watch him the year before and think that.
You can watch him the year before and you can. It's easier to project 2021.
We got a break. All right. 713-780-3776.
You, John.
3776.
Yes. No one's the boss
of
you.
Yes, Todd.
No one's the
David
boss of you.
And David Gow are the boss of me. And they said break.
Do the He-Man Choi thing.
I'm not going to do He-Man Choi. He didn't homer. It was G-Wan Bay that he homered, not G-Man Choi. Okay? So we're not going to do that. We're not going to do male baseball player. Female soccer player or food. We're going to do HR and P. Listen, you're trying to get me in HR on me? That's what you're trying to do.
That's how I segue.
Okay. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get HR on me, which is a perfect segue for this commercial. HR and P. HR and P is our payroll company. It's our HR company. And we've used the HR. And no, it wasn't Granado. You heard David Kyle say that. And it wasn't me. It wasn't me that they needed HR for. Here's the deal is sometimes you have HR problems. And you know what? You need somebody who knows exactly what to do during those HR issues. And if you have HR issues and you're not handling it correctly, it could really cost you, seriously cost you, where you could, in some instances, lose your business because you're going to have to pay so much in penalties to somebody that you didn't treat right. Well, don't do that. Have HR&P handle your HR issues. Have HR&P handle all of your payroll issues. Have HR&P give you options for your benefits packages as opposed to forcing the benefits packages on you, which is what other admin companies do. No, it's not an admin company. It's a payroll and HR company. That's why it's called HR&P. And the other stuff, they let you have the choices and run your business the way that you want to. Look, you're looking for a great payroll company and HR company. I got one for you. Let them come and give you a consultation. It's not cookie cutter. Everybody's business is different. So they're going to look at your business and give you exactly what you need for yours. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline.
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. 750 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here with us to talk about whatever. Opening up the phone lines. Let's go. Oh, at the top of the hour here, we're going to have a Houstonian, actually, from the Woodlands. She's going to join us, Cheyenne Knight, who is going to be playing next week at the Chevron Championship, which is right here. We'll be broadcasting live from Carlton Woods, the Nicklaus course. That's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to be out there with the best players in the world right here in the Houston area. Ben is here, wants to talk NFL draft. What do you say, Ben?
Hey, guys. I have a quick question. And the question is, if there's six teams that's willing to trade up to the number three pick with the Cardinals, how many teams are reaching out to the Texans to, you know, jump those teams? Or of those six teams, how many of them are actually reaching out to the Texans to jump the teams that's trying to get into the third pick to pick the quarterback that they want, assuming Bryce Young is gone?
So that's actually the good question. And that's something I've been mulling around. So here's the thing. I think the Texans, to me, the Texans are going to look quarterback and they're going to look defensive line. Those are the areas. Because if you – I know everyone keeps talking about Smith and Jigba and wide receiver. I'm going to explain this again. Nico Collins isn't going anywhere this year. He's getting reps. They just gave Robert Woods a contract that is not the dollar amount, because you have to look at the dollar amount. There's a lot of dollar amounts that mean, okay, you're just depth. Just because you sign a player. But his dollar amount doesn't mean depth. His dollar amount means get on the field. From what I've been told, John Mechie is ready to roll. And he's going to be playing this year. He's in good shape. And John Mechie's going to be back. It doesn't mean that they won't look at wide receiver, but I don't think they're going to prioritize it. Everyone with this wide receiver talking, Mechie, Quentin Johnston. Do y'all not remember how bad the run defense is? Who was the interior players they have now that are so good? Do y'all not remember the pass rush that Obanaya Obina Aronquo. He's gone. He was like their best sack guy out of five games.
Yeah.
They don't have rush. They've got to get rush. They've got to get defensive line play. You build championship football teams on the fronts. D'Amico Ryans came from San Francisco. Mike McGlinchey, first round pick. They've spent a bunch of money on Trent Williams. They went and got Nick Bosa, first-round pick. Eric Armstead, first-round pick. They had DeForest Buckner, who was a first-round pick, who they traded for a first-round pick. Like, this is nothing new. This is an NFL adage that you win championships by building the fronts. The Houston Texans have a bad defensive front. They are going to draft defensive line. That's going to be... and if they don't get it at pick number 2, if they don't get it at pick number 12, they got to get it at pick 33. And when I say defensive line, I mean either pass rusher or defensive line, or maybe both. I think they're going to get a corner in the draft. I think they're going to get two defensive linemen. One will be a rusher, one will be a D lineman, and I think they'll at some point get a wide receiver. But defensive line and pass rush are going to be the thing. So to his question, John, so I bring that up because I want to say this. How far back can you move? Like, and who would be willing to move there? I've heard Seattle may not be in on quarterback. They may be waiting until next year. That's one of the things I've heard from a pretty good source. So if I eliminate Seattle as a quarterback, so I'm just trying to work through the process. If I eliminate Seattle, I've taken them so five probably wouldn't trade up to 2. You're not going to trade with the Colts, right?
Right.
I mean, would you though?
No, I would not.
Well, tell me why.
I'm not giving them a quarterback. I'm just not. I may be wrong. Maybe I don't want them. And maybe I would, because I think that he's not going to be very good. So maybe I'll stick him.
Yeah,
with
but
the Colts.
What if you think Stroud is their pick, and you think, well, he's a lot better than Richardson or Levis?
Right.
Then you don't want to improve their lot. So you're not trading with 4. What if I'm working off the assumption that 5 doesn't trade up, even though they have 2. First round picks. Now you hope they want to trade up, because that'd be great to move to 5. Yeah. I'd move to 5 all day long.
Yeah.
And then 6, the Lions, I don't think will move up for quarterback. It has to be people who move up for quarterback. 7 is the first one that makes sense. 11 also wants to move up, but they're in your division 2,
yeah, right.
The Titans.
Yeah.
So if it's 7, would you move back to 7?
Yep.
I probably would too, because here's what would happen. young, because you have to play this out. Young one, Stroud two, or Stroud one, Young two, whatever. But let's just say it goes, because you don't know what Carolina's going to do. So let's just say it's, let's say it goes Stroud. Maybe the Texans.
Well, then you're not trading up.
Yeah, so the Texans probably wouldn't do this trade unless they saw that Young went first. If it goes Young, then let's say it's Stroud to the Raiders. Then is somebody going to trade to Arizona spot? I'm not completely convinced that somebody's going to trade up for Richardson or Levis. So let's just say, let's say three is Will Anderson. Four, Colts. Let's say they go Richardson.
Right.
Five, or Levis. So then five, Seattle. Let's say they go Tyree.
Okay.
Six, the Lions. They end up going with Jalen Carter. Okay, now who are you drafting? Levis?
You might go Levis. You might go.
So now you've traded for Will Levis.
Yeah, right.
Traded back for Will Levis.
And you got some. And you got, you might have the guy that Does you that want ex- anyway, and you get more capital. You yeah. might have got. All right, we got to take a break from Draft Talk right now.
You may have won it anyway.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Time to talk about Craig the Surf. And when we come back, Cheyenne Knight, who is a local young lady, joining us to talk about the Chevron Championship next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, Craig DeSurf.
Well, so Craig DeSurf is the guy who's running the show at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. You can go to LanceZCars.com. That's the easiest way to get to the website. And they've got all the programs that they're running right now. And that includes the Chevy Silverado, the 2023 for 0% APR financing, or $2,250 total allowance cash back on a 2023 Silverado with a turbo high output engine. Yes, I said 0% financing just a while ago. You got the Chevy Equinox at 1.9% APR or $1,500 cash allowance. Maybe you're interested in the Buick Encore, the GX. You've got 3.9 APR for 5 years, plus an additional $750 purchase allowance for current eligible non-GM owners and lessees. These are the opportunities available to you, and it gets even better. The GMC Terrain, which is a smaller SUV, the 2022 or 2023 models are 1.9% APR plus an additional $750 purchase allowance. You can find all these offers, all these programs going on at LanceZCars.com. Just know this, the sales is going to be low pressure. The satisfaction is going to be high. Their customer service index is always very high. And they will go that extra step from giving you the highest trade-in value you can possibly find to even delivering your car into Houston if they need to. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Shop online at LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5.